All right, I'm Western Carolina University Master's in Entrepreneurship student Bill Miller, here with Lake Tire and Auto owner Ralph Smith on September 27th, 2011 for an entrepreneurship interview, which we're doing in person and recording with an audio recorder. Mr. Smith, please know that my goals are to learn some about entrepreneurship, some about you as an entrepreneur, and some things that may be helpful to aspiring entrepreneurs, but you can skip any questions that you aren't comfortable answering. Does that sound good to you, sir?
Bill, that is absolutely fine with me, sir.
All right, great. First question. You opened Lake Tire and Auto in 1987. Can you please describe your business and how it's grown?
I'd be more than happy to. Back in 1987, I was a young man, about your age. I was 30 years old, had a family, two children, a six-year-old and a three-month-old. And as many young men, you're ambitious, you want to make something out of your life. So I decided, even though I had a very good paying job with Zayers at that time as a service manager in Orlando, I wanted to own my own business. I had been working for other people since I was 18. And there's just something about the challenge. You saw, you knew you could do it as well or better than those guys. So I took that opportunity, left the best paying job I'd ever had in my life, just go out on a lark with two kids. And what caused me to come to Lake County or Tavares was I had worked at a location up in Eustis there for a while back in the several years before I went to work at Zayers. And I really just liked the area and the community. And I found a beautiful location on the corner of 441 and Old 441 in Tavares that had been vacated for some time. The reason it was not occupied, even though it was an excellent location, was the gentleman that owned it, Jerry Moy, was asking what seemed to be a very high rate of rent at that time for those days, and indeed it was. But I was from Orlando, and to me his rate didn't seem that unreasonable for prices down there. And so I told my wife, honey, I love you, but we're going to be divorced 6 days a week, and we're going to be married on Sundays, because I will get up at 6 in the morning, I will drive to Lake County, I will run my business, I'll be home at 7 or 8 if I'm lucky. Some nights it was 10 or 11. Did it solo for 2 years, saved up enough funds, and took care of my family and our needs to be able to make a down payment on the property, which Mr. Moy, the owner at the time, told me if I gave him X amount of dollars in 2 years, he would sell it to me for a certain price and carry the note. We did that for about 3-4 years, and I was able to get it financed at that point, or pay it off, rather, with him. And so ever since then, for the last 20 years, I've owned the real estate free and clear. But it's been an exciting thing, and something as a young man and now a somewhat older guy, I do not regret at all, and probably one of the smartest decisions I've ever made in my life, especially professionally.
Okay, so how did you go from a manager of a Zayers to the tire business?
Well, that started out, now you're going to go back to my teenage years. I don't want to tell you everything there, okay?
All right.
But I was going to college full-time, Valencia Community College. I graduated a year early from high school, went to trade school, and I wanted to be a policeman, wanted to be in law enforcement. At that time, a starting deputy in Orange County paid about $9,500, and I was working at a Goodyear retread plant, making $12,000 a year, working a lot of overtime while going to college as well. And so in any event, I learned a little bit about tires. The funny part about it, though, working in a retread plant has absolutely nothing to do with retail tire sales, except the common thing being tires. But a year or two later, a gentleman by the name of J.C. Penney, who owned Big Orange Tire, who started them, was looking for some young men that had tire experience. So he called several pastors in the area, in the West Orlando area, asking if they had any young men that had any experience in tires. And, of course, my pastor thought of me because he knew I worked at a retread plant. But once again, as I said, it had nothing to do with retail tires. Anyway, through hook or crook, I got the opportunity to go to work for him, and that's where I learned the tire trade. And I made determination at that point. While I would have loved to have been a law enforcement officer, I had a mortgage and a wife, and decided to stay in the business. And once again, I love law enforcement officers. They are some of the best people in the world. But I'm glad I stayed with what I did, because it's been very rewarding, both professionally and personally.
Okay, that clears that up a bit. All right, thanks. Is this your first entrepreneurial endeavor, or have you done anything else?
It was my first, I suppose, other than starting my lawn mowing service when I was 12. I mean, I guess we all did that. I actually worked at my daddy's barbershop when I was like 9, 10 years old in downtown Orlando as a shoeshine boy. Summer job, my dad didn't, there wasn't enough money for, you know, full-time shoeshine person. So I did it in the summer and afternoons on Saturdays and, you know, make $5 a day. It was like you were rolling in dough, you know. You could buy all kinds of comic books at that time for like a quarter or something. And so I had a good time doing that. So I guess you could say that started just finding odd jobs and you know, getting lawns to mow and that sort of thing. I used to charge $2 for an average size lawn. So I'm really dating myself. I know you can't even buy the gas to do it for that now. But other than that, since I opened the tire store, no, sir, because I've been fortunate enough and had done well and did not overextend myself, I've been able to buy another property, which is where a Florida Wholesale Direct car dealership is across from the school board offices. It used to be a former Shell station. So now I'm probably deriving almost as much income as a landlord renting from them and myself as well as I am from the tire business. Those are the two main things I've done as an entrepreneur, other than a few investments I've made with some friends.
And you were honored with the 2008 Entrepreneur of the Year Award by the Tiberias Chamber of Commerce, is that right?
I was, and I'm not being overly humble when I say I was like number 20 on that list, okay? I shouldn't have got it. I guess it was a Lifetime Achievement Award. They figured I'm old and I'll probably die before it'd be my turn, so they gave it to me early. But no, I was honored with that. The Chamber of Commerce gave it to me, the board of directors, and like I say, I was flattered. There's been people much more deserving than I that should have gotten it the first year, have gotten it since then, like my good friend Freddie Belton at Belton Bell Bonds and others. But it was still a very touching honor. And you know, Bill, you can tell I'm not often at a loss for words. That day I was at a loss for words.
Okay.
And it had nothing to do with the surprise, although I was very surprised. Prior to that, coming to that thing, which was a great honor, albeit undeserved, a wonderful man and someone I had great respect for who's been, I've been around 25 years. This guy had been around 50 years at that time. A gentleman by the name of Ernie Barnett of Barnett Tire fame had passed away that day of cancer, and his son, Ernie Jr., is now running it and all. And so I went up there, and all I could do was just say pray for the Ernie Barnett family. So, folks, y'all think I ain't never had a point where my mouth wasn't going 100 miles an hour. There was one up there. I was totally caught off guard, and that's all I could say was remember Ernie and his family.
Okay. I'm actually friends with the Barnett family. I went to school with Ernie, and he was actually one of my college roommates.
I had no idea. Isn't that interesting?
Small world.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh. All right, so what kind of life experiences or education gave you the confidence to become an entrepreneur?
Well, you know, I don't know. And you're asking me questions I'm having to think about, and I think it's just maybe an over amount of confidence that I have no rational reason to have, but it works. I guess if you want to really pin it down to something, we live in the best country in the world, and on my radio show, I criticize government and different things and issues, and you know what? That is one of the beauties of our country, is you can criticize it. You can make your opinions known. You can voice them in a variety of venues, as long as you don't slander and libel people with lies and untruths. And I will tell you, I love this country and the opportunities it's given me. It's just, you live in America, you've got no excuses. You really don't. There's so many opportunities. Other people in other countries, their fates are pretty much determined when they're born, if not before. And in America, you can aspire to anything you want. I mean, look at yourself. You're doing an awesome job with, I'm in his room. I'm getting off pace here, so shut me up if you have to, Bill. But this guy is amazing. I'm the one who should be interviewing Bill, and I'm going to and have him on my radio show before too long. But besides his room being like a museum of gator stuff, which I'm envious of some of it, and you better watch me. I may steal some of it on the way out. But seriously, Bill has accomplished in his situation far more than people do in my situation all their lives. And it's just amazing the ideals and the things. He's even shown me how to use an M3 player, folks. I have no clue what that's all about. Maybe it's generational. I don't know. But no, listen, it's really an awesome opportunity. And so I would just tell you, you know, and I know we got a lot of questions covered, but I don't want to get ahead of the interview. But folks, take advantage of the opportunities you're given. There are so many. There's no excuses, really, if you get right down to it. There's obstacles, no doubt about it. Life's not always fair. As a friend of mine says, life's not fair, but it is fragile. But there are tons of opportunities out there and ways to get anything done if you set your mind to it and are willing to get up and work hard at it.
Good answer. Thank you. And don't sell yourself short. You're highly accomplished. All right, so how about some examples of challenges that you faced when you started Light Turn Auto?
Well, obviously any small businessman is money. Now, I understand there's like, when you start a small business, there's like a 90% failure rate ultimately. I did not know that at the time. If I had, I probably would have been chicken and not done it, okay? But let me tell you, it's the first thing, folks, is do math. Wouldn't it be nice if our federal government did that? We wouldn't be talking about a lot of the things in the media today that we're talking about, or our local governments for that matter. Don't spend what you don't have. I never financed anything. Matter of fact, Bill, wow. I didn't get a credit card until I was like 37 years old.
Wow.
Never had one.
Now, so how did you fund your business starting out?
Well, quite frankly, my wife and I got married when we were 18. We bought a $1,200 mobile home. Saved that up from working at Goodyear retread plant. And I think we had a small $60 payment with GE or something for the $750 we financed, which was like maybe a year. And then we did, I kept that for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and then we sold it, and we made a little money on it, actually, on a mobile home, because we got a real good deal on it. It was a good mobile home for an older one, albeit, 1960 Crossland, I believe. But we sold that, and then we bought another place, which was a mobile home on a lot, but it was our lot, and we kept it for 5 years, and we made 2.5 times the money we did on that. And then we bought another home, which was, you know, a starter home basically for most folks, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, but maybe 1,100 square feet over in West Pine Hills, which is where I was at when I started my business. And basically, the gains I made on those parts, because, you know, real estate escalates, and I had, when I opened up, about $20,000 to my name in the bank. People say, and of course, this is 1987, folks, so the numbers would be different now, I'm sure. But the bottom line, it all started out because we never rented. We always owned, and a little bit of that money was going towards some equity every month when you made the payment rather than just down a rat hole called rent. So that would be the first thing I would say. Any young person or individual who's on that treadmill, get off of it as quick as you can and start building equity in some. Now, it may be more difficult now because that properties have been depreciating and going down in value as opposed to up, but we're at the bottom or near the bottom, and it's not a bad time to invest or buy things. And then it may not appreciate as fast as it did back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, but it will appreciate. And don't be afraid to take a risk, and don't go out and overcapitalize. Don't go out and buy all the new bells and whistles. I bought my first balancer. I bought from a fellow over in Longwood for $600. Didn't have all the flashing lights on it, but it worked great. Bought an alignment machine for $2,000, brought it up here, put it in myself. And that's how we did it, basically. I found a good location. I asked other people. You know, I wasn't a lone ranger. I had people in the business. I took their advice. I listened to them. And they were most of the time people more than happy to share with you their story. That's sort of what I'm doing here to help you get started, because that's something called giving back. And it's just, I think, a natural manifestation of folks who've had some measure of success in their life professionally or personally, that they want to share those victories with folks and help young people, or not necessarily young people, but young people in the business of maturation and starting a business, to help them be successful so they can look back 20 years and say, hey, I had a hand in helping that guy get started, you know, with some advice or encouragement at the very least.
Speaking of advice, did you have a formal business plan before you started your business?
Really, I didn't. Once again, I was pretty naive. I was a hardworking guy, not afraid to work, get my hands dirty, and I like people. I like to talk, as you can well tell, and your listeners can. But basically, my business plan was to buy tires and sell them for a little bit more than I bought them for. Yet, at the same token, try to be a little bit less expensive than my competition and to provide better service, to be willing to do things that the big boys, because of their strict corporate guidelines do not have the flexibility to do. Let me just give you one example. Today, we're one of the few places around that you will find that sells used tires. Now, I must tell you, used tires are becoming a rare commodity, especially in the popular sizes that the older cars take, like in 14s, 15s, and even 16s. But my insurance people have told me it'd be wise if I didn't, and I understand their point because used tires can be a liability. But we are very, very careful at our place about culling out anything that's questionable. We throw them away if it's questionable. And to this date, I've been in business 25 years, I've never had one action taken against me legally. Now, is that to say we've never made a mistake? Oh, yeah, we made our share of them. Okay, we're human beings. But when we make our mistake, we confess it, we apologize, and we make it right to the customer and hopefully to their complete satisfaction so they'll remain a customer.
Sounds like good business to me.
It's common sense. You know what? That's the funny thing about this. Everything we're talking about, Bill, and I think I haven't seen all your questions. I don't recall them all, but I'll tell you. It really is just common sense. The golden rule still applies, even in today's world.
Absolutely. All right. Well, how are things going right now for Lake Tire and Auto?
How are things going? Well, like everybody, it's a challenge. And I jokingly say this, folks. Okay, I'm just one of those greedy capitalists that our president keeps talking about. And I don't want to spread the wealth because to the folks that didn't earn it. But by the same token... you know what, I know you don't want me to get political here, but sorry if I'm stepping over the line. Just
right.
just edit this part, okay?
Right.
But you know what, when people are compelled to give through the force of law, it's not charity, okay? And that's the difference. And I've seen this, I've seen it with a lot of the progressives, I've seen it even on local boards. We have this thing called North Lake Hospital Taxing District where we have to pay this tax that I would voluntarily pay, but I don't like being compelled to pay under the threat of law because it's never been voted on. And so the point is it's not charity when you're forced to do it at the point of a gun, ultimately. And the opportunities, but you know, giving back is just a natural manifestation of being successful. Obviously, you can only give what you've got, okay? But I have been very involved at Tavares High School for years. I love kids. My kids went to school there, but I got involved before my kids were there because it was just such a nice feeling. We had a car wash there last week from one of the groups at the high school. We still do it even though my kids have been out of school for 7 or 8 years. And I'll tell you, Tavares, and I would say all of North Lake, but I know Tavares intimately, is still a small town even though it's moving into a different era, as is Leesburg, Eustace, Mount Dora, and I guess Umatilla will eventually. But this area around here is, there's just something different about it. I haven't lived everywhere. I'm an Orlando boy, but it reminds me a lot of the way Orlando was when I was a young kid. You know, there's really no place in Lake County I'm worried about going to and getting mugged. Maybe I should be, but I'm not. And in Orlando, I used to feel that way, but not anymore. So this area is just really, really, really has a certain magic. And whether you're a new resident, lifetime resident, we're born here, or someone like me that's kind of in between both, there's such a nice hometown feel. And you go places, you run into people. People are just real around here. It's almost like being up in the Carolinas, to tell you the truth, except we don't have quite as much cool weather.
All right, switching gears a little bit. Is there any ways that you are trying to innovate, or is innovation important to your business?
Yeah, actually it is. I was the first guy, I believe Cadillac may have had one, but aside from them, I was the first one to buy a Hunter Force Variation balancer about 5 or 6 years ago. And we've kept some updates. It may have been 7 or 8 now. Gosh, time goes so fast. What that is, for your listeners that don't know, Hunter Force Variation balancer is a balancer that basically makes out-around tires extinct. Now, it's not that they don't make out-around ones, but we find them before we sell them. We run every tire, except for the used tires, some of the discount tires where people are just looking for, you know, the lowest-end price and don't care. But we run virtually every tire on that thing to check the roundness. If you buy a set of Michelin tires, or Goodyears, or Bridgestone from me, when you go out there, not saying there isn't a possibility of the tire developing a problem, but it's going to ride good. Because we have the latest thing, the big companies like Tire Kingdom, I don't know if Discount Tire does or not. I know Tires Plus doesn't have one, and Tire Kingdom for some reason, they haven't been smart enough to do that. Now, it's an expensive machine. It costs about $15,000. And I could buy a top-of-the-line, very good computer balancer for about half that without those features. But I have car dealers come to me. We troubleshoot problems. I've even troubleshooted tire problems for some of those big companies like Tire Kingdom. They've sent us a lot of business down there because they could not isolate the problem. And so we've stayed on top of that. Plus, we do 24 inches. Now, folks, I'm old school. I'm not a big fan of these 24s, 22s, and 20s, but that's what the customers want, so we have to provide them. And I will tell you, though, if you're out in a wheel market business, folks looking, stay 18s or smaller because you create yourself a whole lot of problems with those bigger ones because you have less give in the tire and wheel assembly, and you're more prone to damaging expensive wheels and having to replace them on a regular basis or having to put up with a very bad ride if you do bend one. There's not much you can do for them. But that's a little technical advice there, you know. But with that said, we have all the equipment to do that, and I have we're an authorized installer for Tire Rack, who's the biggest internet sales tire sales company in the world. And some people say, well, why do you install tires for a competitor? First of all, I'm not the one that gets to tell all my customers or anybody the rules of where they buy their tires. I hope they'll buy them from me, but if they choose to buy them from Tire Rack, we'll be happy to install them for them. We'll charge them a fair price, and we'll try to make them come see us next time rather than order them online because they'll like our service, and they'll find out really the tires were as cheap or cheaper with us than through Tire Rack, and they didn't have to take the risk of getting an out-around tire and waiting 3 days to get it replaced, because if we find one, we can replace it on the spot.
All right. Do you have a long-term vision of what you want Lake Tire and Auto to become or be?
You know, I sort of do, but it's kind of vague. It's a little foggy. I'm 54 years old, soon to be 55, and I thought I'd retire when I was 55. My oldest son works there. He's very good day-to-day employee. He has to learn some of those skills I was telling you about when I was younger as far as handling finances. And when I'm convinced his judgment has reached that maturity level, then I'll possibly step aside and let him take more control of that. In the meantime, I'm very blessed to have him and a great guy named Richard Hinckley, who's a little bit older than I am. Richard's was part of the family of Leesburg Tire and Battery. He's married to Patsy Hinckley, which I do not recall her maiden name, but her father owned Leesburg Tire and Battery, and Richard, his son-in-law, worked there and ran it for many years. But Richard and I get a little long in the tooth, admittedly. He's 60, I'm 50, almost 55. So down the road, who knows? I have often said if a Boston Market came along and made me a nice offer on the place, as long as they'd give me free food the rest of my life there as part of the deal, I might sell it to them. But tell you the truth, we've had so much fun. We've got so many relationships. I'd just as soon keep it perpetuated over the years and pass it on to my son or sell it to another individual. But the problem with another individual, they may not share your same vision and same rules. And, you know, 5 years from now, if they didn't, then you know, well, who owns that Lake Tire and all the wells? Some guy named Bob owns it, but, you know, some guy named Ralph started it, and you know, it's really gone downhill, and they got a bad reputation. So I just assume be able to control who I sell it to, and my son certainly would share my ideals on things, and I would always have a little string attached if he did change and go over to the dark side where I could come over there and straighten him out real fast. But I don't think that would ever be necessary. But that's my concern there. But, yeah, I think probably another 5 to 10 years tops. And I'm not as active as I used to be there. I don't change that many tires. You might see me on Saturdays or sometimes in the afternoon out there sweating with the guys. And actually, I need to do more of that build because I'm getting a little punchy around the middle. But I enjoy it. I really do. Some days I wish all I had to do was go out there and mount and balance tires because it's a lot of fun. It's something I've never really gotten tired of.
All right. Switching gears a little bit. Potentially help aspiring entrepreneurs. What skills in particular do you think entrepreneurs need to have in order to be successful?
Biggest one? Be honest, not just with your customers and your clients, but with yourself. Know your limitations. Strive to improve yourself. Formal education is a great thing, but you know, getting a degree is not in and of itself important. Learning is important. You get that degree and learn, that's wonderful. But if it's getting a degree or learning, take the learning, okay? And don't be lazy. Enjoy and do what you do. Enjoy what you do. If you don't like it, if you hate it, if it's not something you want to get up every day and do, even if it's for free, That's the thing with me. If tomorrow some guy came along and offered me a big money for it and I stepped aside, I'd probably be going down there all the time, not to get in his face or bother him or be in his way, but to say, anything I can do to help you? You mind if I stand around? You know, and he'd probably chase me off, as he probably should. But the bottom line is, I don't play the lotteries, but if I found a winning lottery ticket and cashed it in, and would I sell the business? Probably not. I might take a few trips to Europe or California or something like that, but a little bit more often. But if I won that $20 million lottery or whatever, but when I'm here in Florida at home, I get up 8 or 9 o'clock after I take the dog out for a walk, I'd probably go down to the shop to see what's going on, hang out and talk to my customers. Kind of what I do now. So not a whole lot would change. But that would be the biggest thing is for any aspiring entrepreneur, find something you love and love what you do and work at it. I will tell you this, it's one of the challenges for people that guard their time and say, well, I'm not going to put over 40, 50 hours into anything. You'll never be successful working a 40-hour job. I'm sorry. You may, unless you invested some time in an education and got a very good paying job, but somewhere down the line, you're going to invest time, either through your education and getting and being professional and having a limited amount of hours and being able to leave your job at work, or you're going to be someone like myself and others who do theirs day and night. But once again, that's why it's got to be something you enjoy, something you'd almost do for free.
Excellent insights. All right, I think that pretty much wraps up our interview. Thank you very much for your time, and I've enjoyed it, and wish you much luck in the future and success.
Bill, thank you so much, and it's an honor being interviewed by you, and your mom and dad are two of the finest people I know, and you certainly reflect their influence very well. So thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you.